Let us pray. Awesome and loving God, God of the resurrection, we thank you for your presence here with us today. God, we thank you for this celebration. And even more importantly, we thank you that we have something to celebrate, Jesus and his resurrection. And so, God, we ask that you would be present with us. I thank you for these words that you have given me to share this week. And God, as I share them, I pray that there would be more of you in them and less of me. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm a lot like Debbie. I love Easter. I love, love, love Easter. Don't you love this day? Yes. By the way, we celebrate like this every Sunday. And so I'll be looking forward to seeing you all next week. I'm just kidding. But we do celebrate every Sunday. But I love this day because it's such a great celebration, isn't it? Yes. It's a great celebration. If I had to choose a day in the church year to call the most important and the most meaningful to me, I would choose this day. The whole gospel story leads to this celebration. In fact, I would say the whole story of God and his creation leads to this celebration. Christian faith climaxes in the resurrection. Amen? This is an important day. And so when we, the church, gather together on this day to celebrate this thing, it is my very favorite. If you've been here with us throughout the season of Lent this year, you know that we have spent the last 7 weeks exploring and confessing our faith as stated in the Apostles' Creed. And that exploration and confession comes to a rightful climax this morning as we celebrate the final statement of the Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. When we gather like this on Easter Sunday, we do it to testify to that statement. Amen? When we gather on Easter, we do it to testify to that statement. When we gather like this on Easter morning, we gather to celebrate and to rejoice in the fact that Jesus was dead, but then he was alive. He rose up and he walked out of that tomb and he is alive forever and ever more. Amen? Is that why you're here? Some of you are like, well, the breakfast will be good, right? The breakfast will be good. It is true. But I hope that you're here to celebrate the resurrection of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you might be here because, like I said before, you knew that it might make somebody that you live with or that lives around you or somebody that you call mom or somebody that you call dad or wife very happy if you came with them today, right? And there's a breakfast afterwards. Right? And some of you are nudging your wives saying, I thought there was a breakfast. So I hope that you will celebrate the resurrection this morning. I hope you're here for those other things too, but I hope you're mostly here to celebrate the resurrection. And I hope it has been and will continue to feel like a worthy celebration for you as a gift to God this morning. That's not all that I hope for this morning, though. That's not all I hope for. I don't only hope that you have come to celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead one morning 2,000 years ago. I hope you have also come to celebrate and remember and believe in the power in that, right? The power in that. The power of the resurrection even now for you in your valleys and in your suffering and in your fear and in your uncertainty as you live this life leading up to the everlasting life that we confess to believe in. The resurrection we come to celebrate this morning is more than an important piece of church history. It's more than a reason to get dressed up and go to church with your family, although y'all look good today. Really good. But it's more than that. It's more than an occasion for cooking a nice ham and getting the fancy china and silverware out of the cupboard. Who did that this morning? Dang, you guys know the meaning of this day. You didn't get the china out yet. Who did it last night? So, and it's certainly more than a good reason to hard boil a bunch of eggs and color them and hide them, right? It's more than that. The resurrection is one amazing and incredible way that God wants to speak hope into your life. It's an incredible way God wants to speak hope into your life. Real, powerful, meaningful, incredible, against all odds, hope. Hope, right? The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Tweet that. Tweet that. I know some of you are looking at your phones. Tweet that. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. It gives us hope that we will move from the valleys to the mountains, from death to life, from suffering to salvation. And this morning, I hope, in addition to the traditions or the breakfast or the family members that brought you here, that you have come to remember and testify to the hope that you can have because of the resurrection. Because Jesus arose, conquered death once and for all, and laid a path for you to follow to everlasting life. Amen? Resurrection is not just a great and glorious piece of the history of the church and the Christian faith. It's not just a thing that happened. So now we come together every year on Easter and celebrate it. No, the resurrection is so much more than that. The resurrection truly changes everything, not just once, but always, for those who put their faith in the resurrected one, Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Bud Probasco. Some of you know him because he grew up here in this church. After I got here, I started calling him Buddy because that's what y'all call him, Buddy. Bud Probasco was a senior pastor at my home church when I was a children's pastor. And I'll never forget one Monday after Easter, he called me into his office and he said somebody had called him and said that he was wrong in saying that the resurrection means everything, that there's other things that mean more. And he called me in and he said, Pastor Jim, am I wrong? And I said, nope, you're not. I was young in my ministry and I was a little humbled that he would even ask me the question, but it was easy to answer. No, Pastor Bud, you're not wrong. The resurrection is everything. It changes everything. God's word can help us understand the hope that we can have through the resurrection this morning. So we heard the Luke passage earlier. I want to thank Bob for reading that for us. A traditional reading of the first Easter when the tomb was found empty because Jesus had risen and walked out of it, right? Just as he had promised he would. And so we heard that scripture. But then we heard another one. I want to thank Dave for reading that one. We heard another passage, one that is not very widely associated with this day. I believe it should be, though. I believe it should be. The passage we heard from Isaiah 25 comes after a long explanation through the book of Isaiah of the suffering the Israelites will endure. Of the suffering they will endure. It comes after Isaiah prophesies about the valleys that they'll have to travel through and the trials that they'll be faced with as a people. And we know now, because we can continue reading in the book of Isaiah, we know now that they did in fact suffer, didn't they? They did suffer. They did face trials of all kinds, and they did have to travel through valleys, and they did face death in all kinds of ways. Isaiah prophesied that there would be trouble for them in this life, and there was trouble for them in this life. But in the midst of the struggle and pain and all kinds of other things the Israelites were in the midst of, God, through Isaiah, told them, "It is going to be okay." They were struggling. And God says through Isaiah, it's going to be okay. I am going to be with you, and I am going to do a thing that will make all of this pale in comparison. That was not to undermine the real struggles that they were in the midst of, but to help them find perspective, right? To help them find perspective, to help them believe a better day is coming, and they can put their hope in that day, in that time, and in the fact that he would be with them always, even in their valleys. Listen, we live our lives on the same earth, under the same sky as those Israelites who heard Isaiah's prophecy, don't we? We live on the same earth. We have valleys to travel and trials to face and suffering to endure and death to fear too, don't we? And so this ancient prophecy can bring hope into our lives just like it brought hope into the lives of the Israelites all those years ago. So in the middle of their suffering and pain and fear and uncertainty, God spoke through Isaiah on this mountain. That's important. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, and he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people will take away from all, he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Reminds me of Paul. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? God said to those Israelites, on this mountain, in their current suffering, in whatever they were in the midst of then, on this mountain, in their current suffering, he offered them hope through this prophecy, right? He offered them hope in their current suffering. Even while they struggled in life, God said, there is hope in me. Everything is going to be okay. Trust me. You see, this passage really does fit perfectly on Easter Sunday, doesn't it? This passage reminds us that our God, even in the midst of, and maybe most importantly, in the midst of our suffering, our God promises us hope. When do we need hope more than in our suffering? And God promises it to us on this mountain. And we here today are even more blessed than the Israelites who heard this prophecy firsthand, because we know that God came through, don't we? We know that God came through on his promise. We know that he conquered death and offered real hope and salvation through Christ and his resurrection. Amen, church? Amen. We know Jesus defeated death, giving us an even more powerful hope in salvation and everlasting life. God said, on this mountain, I will destroy the shroud that is cast over all people, and I will swallow up death forever. We see that victory in the resurrection, and we have come today to celebrate it. Amen? We see the victory in the resurrection, and we believe in it. Psalm 30 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I've also heard it said of that scornful night that Jesus died, it's Friday now, but Sunday's coming, right? It's Friday now, but Sunday is coming. Listen, we will suffer on this mountain. Whatever mountain you're standing on, you will suffer on it. It's true, there will be Fridays in our lives, but even then, there is hope through Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Even then, Sunday is just 3 days away, church. Amen? There will be Fridays in your life, but Sunday's just 3 days away. Even then, there is hope with a God who promises a better day to come. Amen? No matter what you are suffering, be it grief, and I know some of you are, or death, or cancer, or depression, or bullying, or addiction, or abuse, or financial issues, or job loss, or anything else in all of this broken world, God says to you through the empty tomb, I know. I know it hurts now, but I offer healing. I know it's scary now, but better is coming. Better is coming. I know things seem impossible now, but with me, they are not. I know this life can feel hopeless, but I love you. And I defeated death for you, and I promise to hold you in the palm of my hands and deliver you. You can put your hope in that. You can always put your hope in that. The resurrection is proof, isn't it? The resurrection is proof. Because of this thing we've come to celebrate this morning, because death has been defeated and eternal life has been offered, you can look through the struggles of this life to the hope we all have in Jesus. That is the Easter message God wanted me to share with you this morning. Because you know what he knows? He knows the mountain that you're on. And he knows the suffering you're enduring. Because of the resurrection, no matter what this life gives you, there is always hope I pray that you believe that today and tomorrow and every other day that you live your life in this broken world, no matter how broken it gets, because of Jesus and his resurrection, there will always be hope. Amen?
Amen.
There's a really inspiring story being told in theaters right now. So I hope you've contributed to your savings account because it's going to cost you some money to go see it. It's a powerful story of a guy named Bart Millard, and he's the lead singer of the Christian band Mercy Me. Bart Millard had a hard life, and this movie tells about his hard life. And it could be argued that his dad, who was partially responsible for Bart's hard life, lived an even harder life than Bart did. And Bart's dad died of cancer, but not before he found Jesus and repaired his relationship with his son. And the movie is based on what has become, I believe they said, the most played Christian song ever. It's a song I suspect that you have probably heard 100 times or so on the radio. So in the midst of his grief over his dad's death, and surely remembering the struggles and fears and disappointments of his own life, Bart Millard, in 10 minutes, wrote the song called I Can Only Imagine. It's a song that helps listeners to know exactly what I've been talking about this morning, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That no matter how difficult this life becomes for us, we have this belief in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting because Jesus arose. And we can imagine that better day that we hope for because of that. Amen. And the message I hope and pray you leave here knowing this morning is that this hope is there when you are scared. It's there when you're sad. It's there when life really sucks. It's there when you're grieving and when you're praising God alike. It's there when you're depressed and when you think everything is just as it should be. It's there. It's always there, no matter what, because of the empty tomb, because of the resurrection. You can imagine it, church. Amen? You can't imagine it. You should imagine it. And because of it, there is hope. Because he lives, you can face tomorrow. And my prayer this morning is that you will know that. That every one of you sitting here will know that. I pray on this Easter Sunday that you will find and accept and always live with the hope that God offers you through Jesus and his resurrection and the eternal life that you can have because of it. Let's pray together. Awesome and loving God of the resurrection, God, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that Jesus came. We thank you that he gave himself up for us for the forgiveness of our sins. But God, mostly we thank you that he rose from the dead. We thank you that the tomb was empty. And we thank you, God, that that is not just a piece of church history, but it's hope. It's real life hope. For whatever we are struggling with on this mountain that we stand on this morning, that we'll stand on tomorrow, there is hope because you love us and you have us and you promise us that. I pray all that. We thank you for that and we pray all that in the name of the precious Savior Jesus. Amen.